Welcome to the Making of a Thought Leader podcast. This podcast is designed to encourage entrepreneurs to build their thought leadership in a simplified and a systematic way. I'm your host, Surbhi Dedia, brand strategist, entrepreneur, founder of Digital Genie, and also founder of jotmybio.com. I'm passionate to help fellow entrepreneurs, executives, and individuals to think and thrive on their thought leadership. So grab your headset, turn up the volume, and join me here to get the boost of encouragement you need to build your thought leadership every episode. Hello and welcome to the brand new episode on the Making of a Thought Leader podcast. If you're a regular listener of the show, I want to thank you for doing so. And if you're tuning for the first time, thank you for choosing to spend time on this episode. This episode is unique as we are focusing on a particular social media, Twitter, and going to learn from an expert. Before I introduce you to our expert today, I'd like to share some food for thought. Twitter, as we know, is a popular social media and has been around for 15 years. Today, it has over 217 million active users who send about 500 million tweets per day. One fact that stands out for me is that 93% of the people that follow small and medium businesses on Twitter plan to buy from them. So if you and your business are not on Twitter, this is a good time to begin with it. And if you are on Twitter but haven't leveraged it enough, stick until the end of this episode to know how you can get Twitter to work for you. Now, without further ado, let me introduce you to Samantha Kelly, aka Tweeting Goddess. Samantha is a Twitter expert. Samantha shares her story on how she built her expertise on Twitter in the episode. She's also a founder and a program director of Women's Inspire Network, which is supported by WeDo. As a Twitter expert, Samantha works with people who want to leverage Twitter effectively and become the go-to expert in their niche. I have been following Samantha on Twitter for some time and I have experienced it firsthand how she nurtures and adds value to her ever-growing community on Twitter. So let's meet Samantha on the other side and learn from the expert on how to build thought leadership on Twitter. Welcome to the Making of a Thought Leader podcast. It is absolutely my pleasure to have you on board today.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks.
You know, having you on the show was always a part of the plan, and I'm so glad we made it happen between the time zones and the schedule. So thank you again.
And, you know, that's the joy, though, of global, isn't it? Going global is that, you know, you're going to have those different time zones. So you have to get used to either staying up late or getting up very early.
True. Talking about global nature of our work world now, the reason you are very popular around the globe is Twitter. And to start this conversation, I thought about why not I pick your brains on how did Twitter happen to you? What is the story there?
Actually, my sister put me on Twitter. I had a different business, right? It was called Funky Goddess, and I had no money. I was a lone parent on social welfare. And, you know, I was like, how do I market my business with no marketing budget, which is like the same for many freelancers and small business owners. And so my sister said, oh, go on Twitter. And I was like, Twitter, what's that? I was like, I had no idea. I barely had a Facebook profile. And this was all new to me. This is about 11 years ago. So it was funny. What I did was when the children were asleep, I used to go on and just, I felt a bit lonely running my business in my head on my own. And so I just decided to start following business owners. And then I started building relationships. I wasn't actually generally posting much. I was just talking to people. But then I'd say what my business was. And then I started writing articles and blogs and I'd start sharing them out. And next thing, the media would pick up on one of the blogs and ask to interview me. And I was like, whoa, this is quite powerful. And that's when I realized the power of Twitter and the power of the media being the go-to person in something, you know, the go-to person in your niche. And that's really how it started. Yeah.
Nice. So just to understand, Funky Goddess was something around a product or a service?
It was a product. Do you know what it was? It was my daughter got her first period, right? And I felt sorry for her. So I went to the shop to buy her some kind of gift or beginner set, and there were none. Mm-hmm. And that's when I got the idea, with no money, no business experience, nothing. I just said, that's not right. I should just create this gift box for girls. So I did. It was called Funky Goddess. Oh, and nice. Had everything a little girl, well, not, it's like a 10-year-old, 11-year-old needed, because it's such a frightening time. So obviously when I did start the business, it was very taboo. So the media were very interested in it because it was such a taboo topic. So it was wonderful. I was a little bit ahead of my time because it's only now I think people are even saying the word on social media. So yes, that's what my first business was, something totally different.
Yeah. And so what happened after that? You started building followers and you got media and you were talking only about personal hygiene and all of that. And then what happened? What is like the chapter two of the story?
Do you know what I was talking about? I was talking about people's stories, people's experiences. So I'd interview people and ask them what it was like for them. I had a friend who was a widower and he had three young girls when his wife passed away. So I asked him how he coped. And he ended up, when I shared that blog out, a producer for a big show here in Ireland asked me, could they interview him? So he ended up on the radio, on the biggest radio station here in Ireland. That's when I saw the power of storytelling. So I was just telling stories, and then I'd get guests like doctors or nurses, you know, people like that. And I started interviewing them like you're doing with me. And then I sold that first startup. I sold that because I wasn't making a profit. I had no money. So I needed to make it cheaper and get it in bulk, all the products and da, da, da. But like, you know, I went on a TV show. It's like Shark Tank. I don't know if you know Shark Tank. It's called Dragon's Den here.
And you'd have
investors. Yeah, it's on YouTube. If anyone wants to watch it, you can Google me, but it's on YouTube. But yes, so when I was on the show, my Twitter exploded. People started talking about me. And actually what happened was my dad had just passed away and we used to watch this show together.
Oh, wow.
And when I was getting my makeup done by the makeup girl, a butterfly landed on the makeup girl's light. And she said, oh, why is there a butterfly here in January? And I said, that's my dad, you know. So when I went up to the TV show, one of the investors said, you've had a tough year, haven't you? And I started talking about my dad and then I started crying. So I was the girl who cried on Dragon's Den. So I was like, oh no, people are going to think I'm an idiot. But you know what? People didn't think I was an idiot. People empathized with me. They saw the human behind the business. So it was actually lovely. Lovely. Wow. What happened then was, as I was in the process of that, I'm sure my dad has a lot to do with a lot of this stuff that's happened. So when that happened, a hotel here where I live asked me, could I help them with Twitter? She said, you seem to understand Twitter and we don't understand it. Could you show us how to use it? So I showed them how to use it. And then they went, oh, will you just do it for us? And I went, ah, that's a good business, because they wanted to pay me to do this. So then I started managing campaigns, managing accounts. I had a team, everything. And now what I do now at this stage of my career is I actually do consultations. I do one-to-ones. I train people how to raise their profile. And, you know, it's about making you stand out. So, so I get a lot of people doing that with me. So I love doing that. I love seeing my clients shining on social media. Right. It's wonderful.
So, you know what? That brings me to this topic of how do you keep up? Because all these platforms, any social media platform from the time they started to now, and even as we speak, they're constantly changing. So be it algorithms, be it their user interface, everything changes. And when you are planning your business around it, but just for the easy conversation, just let's keep it to Twitter and then think about Twitter itself went under so many changes, right? Like from the time it was born, although the primary product is still the same, but what happens in terms of when you are using that platform for business?
Well, do you know what? I don't use it for selling. I use it to build relationships, right? But then I get the sales and I use it to add value. So it doesn't matter what platform you're on. You are not going to succeed if you're just sell, sell, sell. Yeah. You need to build relationships, build a community around you, nurture relationships, help other people. So it's not about me at all. My audience, my community on Twitter, it's about them. How can I help them today? How can I help them learn something new today? How can I inspire them today? How can I make them smile today? You know, so it's not about, it doesn't matter what platform you're on. The main thing is adding value, helping others, and sharing your knowledge.
Mm. All right. And that's what you learned earlier on. So you just kept at it and you built your community. And I understand that you have such a vast community now on Twitter following you. When you started at the beginning, did you know that this is what it is going to look like as a community? And after you grew to a certain size, how do you keep up with it?
Do you know, I use Twitter lists. Okay, uh-huh. So Twitter lists are really important because you can segment your audiences. You know the way a lot of people say, oh, no, I wouldn't. I'm afraid of Twitter. No. And a lot of people don't understand the platform. And that's why I'm really lucky, actually, that I chose this as my niche. Now, I didn't intentionally choose it as my niche. But how many social media experts do you know? And how many Twitter experts do you know? You know, there's not many. So, you know, it's about finding your niche, right? And then building some Twitter lists. So maybe build a Twitter list of media contacts, build a Twitter list of women in business, build a Twitter list of potential clients, but don't ever call the Twitter list potential clients. You can call a Twitter list like cool new connections or something, you know, so you build your little Twitter list, and then I don't go down a rabbit hole at all. And so I just go keep in touch with the people I want to keep in touch with. So my Twitter feed is really nice. It's really fluffy and kind and lovely. And even on my bio, like your bio is so important. You're going to attract the certain kind of people with your Absolutely. Bio. And on my bio, it says nice people collector. So, you know, I'm not going to attract any idiots because they're going like, I'm not going to follow her. She's too fluffy, you know. So it's like, it's really about, you know, having a strategy where, okay, well, who are the people I want to connect with? Who are the people I want to have conversations with? Who are the people that need my help? Mm. So I knew that small, I was a woman in business and I knew nothing when I started. So I know that there are women like me and guys and men starting a business that don't have experience, but they might have a really great passion and idea that people will want and people will pay for. So if that's the case, they're the kind of people that I would be keep building relationships with.
Yeah, that is fantastic, because what you just said makes so much sense. What you put out there is what you attract. And as you said, that the effective use of Twitter lists, you segment your audience. And it is actually marketing 101, if I want to put it that way. And the way you talk to me or audiences, the way you approach them is with lists, segmenting them, because not everybody wants to hear everything that you want to say.
Exactly.
So you can be really focused and niche when you speak to a certain kind of audience.
The thing that's really important here, and you said marketing 101, is it's all about people. Mm-hmm. It's all about people. And people are more savvy now. We don't want to be sold to. We want value. We want experiences. And that's why video is so popular. You know, and you can use video on Twitter as well. You can use images, videos, but like the rise of TikTok, it's video. And it's about getting an insight into that person. And I follow certain people on TikTok because they're funny. I follow certain people because, you know, maybe she's a woman like me and I want to learn from her. You know, it's the same thing, except it's just like it's about people. And right. I think that's one thing that the big brands don't get, or people that start a business. And I say, OK, so who are your target audience? And they go, everybody. And I'm like, no, you know, and so many people say that to me, right. Everybody, and not everybody is your customer, you know,
exactly.
And it's such a common thing I hear. So it really is important to figure out, okay, and even if you're already in business, who are the people who are actually buying my products? Mm. Who are the people that are buying my services? Could they maybe want some other service from me? You know, it's about keeping that client long term and thinking of it long term, not just for a month or right. When I had the other gift box. Do you know who my biggest customers were men?
Oh, really? Men.
Yes, because, and it makes sense though, they were lone fathers. They were fathers who were divorced or something, and the daughter might go for the weekend to their house, you know, and they were actually the biggest customers I had because they were the ones that needed it the most.
Right. Makes sense. Yes, absolutely. It's all
just, it makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Initially, it wasn't. It wasn't on my radar at all.
So when you build a community and when you are interacting with this community, you said you use lists. One of the popular questions that I get asked is like the benefit of the community. And especially on Twitter, since you have tried and tested this, it will be wonderful for the audience to know what are some of the basic things you put in check to create and then to grow your community.
Okay, well, first of all, I follow other people. So I find people who I feel are interesting, that I can add value to, and that I want to hang around with, that I want to be surrounded with. So I'd follow people, and then I might look at their last few tweets. Mm-hmm. And if there's a tweet there that's promoting something they do, or I find really interesting that I think might add value to my community, I retweet it. And then they go, oh, who's this person that just retweeted me to 67,000 followers? And then they follow me and then they thank me for the retweet, you know, so it gets me on someone on their radar straight away. And sometimes I like to surprise and delight my community. So if I see a lady, let's say, selling baby hat and booties and she has like 46 followers, I'll retweet her. It's just a really nice feeling, you know, that you're helping someone that maybe didn't think she would reach that many people today. And people have had sales as well when I've done that. So I actively go looking for people I can help. And that's one thing that people don't do. And big brands certainly don't do, because big brands, they're just interested in posting whatever it is they do. But do you know what? A lot of the big brands don't follow their followers. I follow back people. Like there's a big tourist place agency and they have like 100,000 followers, but they're only following 5,000. And I think that's wrong, because these are the people that actually are interested in this country. So we should follow them back and we should help them. And actually, that's what I did with the hotel. Do you remember the hotel was my first client?
Right.
Their clicks to sale went up 15%, and they got a phone call from head office asking how their sales went up 15%. And they said, well, Samantha's running the account. So what I started doing was I went back to their notifications and I went to some of the people that had stayed there before. Mm-hmm. And so I saw Lady Mary, and she'd been there before and she had done a cake sale. Right. So the hotel retweeted Mary at her cake sale and said, oh, well done, Mary. Great to see you. And Mary's like, oh my God, the hotel is talking to me. And then she started a conversation and then she said, oh, I must go back down another day. Have you any special offers? And then I was like, yeah, here you go. And then she booked. So it's about engaging with those people who are already brand advocates, who already love you and already trust you. Know, like, and trust. It's so important. Yes. I know we talk about it a lot, but if you actually engage with these people and make them feel special, like, of course, they're going to spread the word for you. You tweet. So you build this army of marketeers behind you and these brand advocates, and they will tell everyone how great you are. And it's better coming from someone else.
Absolutely. And I think surprising and delighting is really a very nice feeling, because when you give, you get.
Absolutely. If I have an event coming up or anything, like my conference, for example, like people just share it for me, even though they've no intention of going to the conference, but they might share it for me because they know that I've done it for them. And it really is about nurturing those relationships. And see, people say, oh, I haven't got time to do that. Well, it depends. Do you want to be successful? Do you want to have brand advocates? Then you're going to have to put the work in. You can't just post. You know, you could post, but you won't get engagement and then you'll give up on Twitter. Whereas if you persist and you just spend that 15 minutes a day going and seeing, okay, I'll go into my Twitter list. Ah, how's Mary? How's John? Let me see if I can help them today. It just gets you back on their radar and keeps you top of mind.
Right. Actually, I'm going to shift gears a little bit here and ask you, like, you've been on Twitter for so long. You have such a massive followers now, and at some point it might have been like an overwhelm, like people seeking your attention, Of course, you are in the giving mode and you do what you do, that your normal style, but sometimes it can be like sucking you in so much that you're like, okay, hang on a bit. This is probably not what I want to do all my life. Did that ever happen to you?
Do you know what? It has changed my life. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, I had nothing when I started my business. And now I can give my daughters opportunities. I get opportunities. It's changed my whole life. I feel so proud that I am where I am today because I worked hard at it. But people that can't afford to work with me, but still need help, I created the Women's Inspire Network for. Mm-hmm. Because the Women's Inspire Network, it's for women who, like me, who were at the same stage as me between 35 to 60, age 35 to 60, who were starting business later, maybe similar to me, had grief or an illness or a divorce or some life event. And they're the kind of people that join my network because they're not really sure about technology. I didn't grow up with Facebook. I didn't grow up with a mobile phone. So we're all still learning all the time. But they realized, especially during the pandemic, how important online was and how important it was to have an online presence if you want to keep and stay in business. So what I say is choose the platform where your audience are. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you're really good on Instagram, that's fine. But are your customers there? Mm. Okay. Or if I'm really good on Twitter, but are my customers there? And you know what? It's funny because most of my customers still come from Twitter because there are people on Twitter who just watch and lurk and just watch what's going on, but they don't necessarily engage and they don't necessarily know how to sell themselves or know how to market themselves. And confidence is a huge one because when we didn't grow up with technology, like confidence is a big issue for like, oh, how do I won't be able to do this. I won't be able to do this. And a lot of people might start businesses in the creative or wellness space. And people in the creative and wellness space do not want to be on technology because they're connected to the universe and stuff, you know? So what I say to people is, look, choose the platform. It could be Instagram. It could be Facebook. Find where your clients are, where your potential clients are, where your community are. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that mine are on Twitter, but also LinkedIn, you know, is another one. But then with the Women's Inspire Network, we have a private Facebook group. So I am on different platforms, but TikTok is me. It's just for me to play, really. Right. You know, it's not, you know, I'm not necessarily putting business on. But it's important for me to understand it from my clients because one of my clients might need TikTok. They might want to reach that younger audience. So my advice is choose a platform that maybe two platforms, one that you absolutely love and one where you're actually getting results where your audience are.
So there was no overwhelm anytime that you had to step back and say, no, this is not really my cup of tea, or I need to like reduce the pace a little bit.
There have been days where, yes, I wanted to just cry and just say, do you know what? I need to get away from this. But you see, my audience and my feed is so nice. Mm-hmm. There's nobody attacking me. And if anyone does troll me and say, oh, you're an idiot, which happens at the start, I cried for 3 days, I think. But now I just block them. It's like, oh, doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me. You know, just make a time like the busiest time as well on Twitter is between 9:30 p.m. and 11 p.m. Okay. So maybe just go on Twitter then. But you could schedule a tweet to go out at that time, you know. So find what time are your customers most active. You can check your analytics anyway.
Right. So tell me about how did you start monetizing this community? From that area of, you know, gathering that big community, there is also this scope or this ability that the influencers of the world have today, right? To market them.
Yes.
So there is this angle of, okay, I'm following this person. And then there is a lot of time, there's a disappointment because that person has started promoting certain products or services. So while you do everything organically, I'm just curious to know, how did you monetize your...
Well, what I did was I created different workshops and webinars. Mm-hmm. And then I would, you know, because I could see there was different topics that people probably didn't know about in business, like, you know, how to use Twitter lists, for example. And I'd start putting little videos out, how to pin a tweet, how to do this. And when I did that, people would say, oh, do you ever do any workshops? I don't do them as often now, but every now and then I'll probably do one for September. I do a masterclass or I do a workshop online and people come and they pay and they come to that. But then also I started doing membership. So membership of Women's Inspire Network. So I charge 20 euros a month and they can be a member, but I have to add value. Like, there's no point. I can't just, you know. So what I do is I get guests that I know are cool, that know great stuff better than I do, like people, LinkedIn experts and email marketing experts and, you know, all kinds of different sales experts. And I get them and I interview them to the network. So they get webinars every week. So they get access to webinars every week to these really cool people that I would know that would be also as influential as me. And so it's so lovely for them to get a follow from someone that they thought never would follow them. And I get them PR opportunities because a lot of journalists would ask me, do you know any woman in business who does this or can help me with a comment for this, or a psychologist or a nutritionist? Or, and I would always know a few. So the Women's Inspire Network members get those opportunities. Another thing you can do as well with Twitter Spaces. Have you seen Twitter Spaces? It's the social audio for Twitter.
Yes.
So there's going to be paid ticketed spaces as well. So I could run a Twitter space and, you know, charge people to come to it. But another thing is people do come to me as an influencer in the B2B space. And they ask me, can they get in front of my audience? So that can they present a webinar, or can they sponsor my event, or can I interview them to my Twitter? Because I can do a live stream to Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, all at the same time.
Yeah.
There's StreamYard or Restream you can use, and they would live stream and then they're getting in front of my audience. And so that's something they pay for as well. So I have actually been asked to do a tweet and be paid for that tweet. So what I would do in that case is I just put hashtag ad. So followers,
the audience know that this is a...
Absolutely. And
in partnership with.
Absolutely. Because it's transparency and my audience won't mind me doing that because they'll still retweet it because they know that that's my job. So they're helping me, you know, so.
Okay. All right. And talking about your content plan, like you have like a content plan laid out for the entire, like probably a month, quarter, half year. How does it work for you? Or is it really on the go?
For me, it's on the go for Tweeting Goddess, right? It's on the go. Okay. However, Women's Inspire Network, we have a conference coming up, right? So I have a content plan for that. And what I normally do is I drip, drip, drip. You know, it's on the 5th of October. So it's kind of little teasers, little videos. And then I'll start ramping it up and having like maybe instead of just 1 to 2 tweets a day, it'll ramp up to 5 tweets a day with different speakers mentioning different sponsors. And it will just, and then the last 2 days will be, you know, probably 10 tweets, you know, so I ramp it up at different times, different hashtags, all that kind of stuff. So yes, there's a content plan for that. And then clients as well, I would do a content plan for as well.
Right. So tell me more about the conference. What is it? We're getting very curious about it.
Oh, thank you. It's all about finding your niche and getting paid. A lot of women in business in particular, we don't seem to own our expertise and the fact that we deserve to get paid a certain amount for that. And it's something I come across time and time again. So that's why I decided it's the annual conference. We haven't had one in real life, obviously, because of the pandemic for 2 years, 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. So it's our 10th event. And so We Do, which are an app for freelancers, they're backing us and they're going to come on board. So we have Indiana Gregg from We Do, who'll be talking about how to get paid using the app, right? Mm-hmm. So that people can get paid on time. Because there's so many people, you know, they're not getting paid on time. They're brilliant at what they do and they're waiting, waiting, waiting. And like they could end up, you know, not having money to buy food because they're waiting to get paid. And this is real stuff. So she's going to talk about how to attract investors to your business. Jen Hogan is going to talk about how to get media attention for your business. So it's all stuff about being the expert, finding your niche. What do you do when you find that niche and how do you tell people you're the go-to expert? So it's to help people who are experts already in their niche, but they're not quite sure how to market themselves. And Anita Wong will be talking about sales funnels because a lot of people start a business and they don't actually know how to get them into the sales funnel or what a sales funnel is even. So yeah, all that kind of stuff. So we've a lot of many speakers. 1, 2, 3. We've about 10 speakers and the 5th of October. And you can join us virtually, or if you want to come to Ireland, you can come to Ireland.
Wonderful, wonderful. I wish you all the best. And maybe, you know, I can put in the events link for people to see in the show notes so that they can grab the tickets, because this episode is going to be really close, releasing close to the event date itself. So,
brilliant. Yeah, thank you. Great.
So there's this other aspect of you, you know, your unique selling story. I think in our conversation, you had mentioned about this. And then how does your unique selling story get you paying clients? Like, how does that work?
I'm 14 years sober, so I live my life differently to other people in that, you know, I try and help someone every day. I try and live my life the best way I can, and stay away from toxic people, all that stuff, good stuff. Like, but, you know, and I'm more spiritual as well. So do you know what? I attract clients who are similar to me. I attract clients who also don't hang out with toxic people, that also want to live their best life, also have the drive and the determination I have. So that's why I get so many people one-to-one, because they're the same as me. And we actually become friends afterwards. It's so strange. I attract the clients that I want. Like, if clients come to me and I feel, I won't take them on. No. Doesn't matter how much money. It has to be a right fit. And I'd recommend somebody else. It just means that I don't think we would work well together. So it's about being discerning and selective and saying, you know what, I can really help this person. You know, and the people I can help the most are the ones that do the best, you know.
Right. Makes sense. Absolutely. And I think, again, marketing 101, your unique selling point is that for others, it may seem like fluff and a goody two shoe. I think the Industrial Revolution and the way the world progress has conditioned human beings in a certain way. Eventually, people are realizing this, that we don't need to be really all about efficiency, all about operations. We can be a little softer with each other.
And that, I always say kindness is a huge thing, right? So if you're kind to someone, you'd be surprised how much that could help somebody, and then they'll come back to you with a recommendation. They'll come back to you with, oh, I have a friend actually that needs you. I went to a meeting once, right? And I had been in the newspaper that weekend, and about a little bit about my story about sobriety. And I went to the meeting, and it was about a new client. And he said, yeah, actually, I think it'd be great to work together, blah, blah, blah. And as I was walking out the door, he went, oh, by the way, great article last week. You know, so he saw the article, and he never told me, never mentioned it to me, but I wouldn't have been sitting in that room only for that article. So he obviously saw something in me that he wanted. He wanted someone he could trust. He wanted someone that was living, like, you know, who wants to live with someone who's out partying? Who wants to work with someone who's out partying all the time and probably won't have a good head? They want someone with a clear head that's going to actually deliver, that they trust. You know, so when you think about it, it makes perfect sense for someone to hire someone like me, because they know I'm going to do the job.
Absolutely. And also the flip side of it is that so many of us go through life events, but we are not able to put those events out there authentically and say, look, this is what has made me today.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
A lot of us don't know about each other so much in detail.
It's interesting
to see that, you know, your articles like that showing your personal side has definitely become your unique selling proposition. To going back to Twitter, if they have to use Twitter to gain business, what are the like top five things they should have in check?
Okay, so first of all, the bio and the imagery. Mm-hmm. So if it's a person on their own business, I would suggest put your headshot.
Right.
Your picture, because people buy from people, and then put your logos in the header, you know, that kind of, and what you do in the header. But use that little avatar, use a headshot, and get a great headshot. Invest in a photographer. Maybe there's a photographer that's a trainee photographer, or maybe there's someone in your family who's really good at taking pictures. Get a really good head. Get the makeup done, the hair, the gel, whatever, and make it look really good. That's the first thing, right? So nobody's going to follow you, you see, if you don't look good on Twitter. Okay. And then put in your bio three things that make you stand out from everybody else. Make it human as well. Like, you could add in maybe I love hiking and love music or something, and put that little bit of personality in it. But put in, I am an expert in X, you know, speaker, author. And then the next one would be, number three would be, okay, think about who are the people that I would like to reach here on Twitter. So if there's a community in the health space, if there's a community in the design or art or creative space, go and find those people. Put into search Use a hashtag art or hashtag music and find those people. Start by following someone like me. And if you want to ask me, just follow me and say, hi, I listened to your interview and mentioned the both of us. And then you could say, look, I'm looking to connect with men in tech or women in tech or whatever. And then I can actually tag a few people who I know would have great communities like that, and go and look at these people and then look at who's following them and then look at their lists. You can actually view their Twitter lists and see, are there interesting people there?
Yeah.
Or you could start by following, especially women in business, if you want to follow some of the women in Women's Inspire Network, see who I'm talking to, who am I connecting with, who am I following, you know, and have a look at that. So that's number three. Number four would be add value. So what do your audience need to know that they didn't know yesterday? So if you're an expert in your niche, like, could you say, for example, oh, you know, three tips to starting your own podcast? You know, could you say three tips to get your desired guests on a podcast? You know, so it's about things like that, giving tips, because then you're helping others and they're going to go, oh, she knows her stuff. Yeah. And then they'll start following you and they might retweet you. Then four or five. Yeah. Okay. Retweet others and help others. So just go in and find someone that you know you know or whatever, and just retweet them, because then you'll make their day, you'll make them feel special, and they might follow you back. But go and start building some Twitter lists. So create Twitter lists. If you go to my YouTube, there's a video on how to create Twitter lists, and just start collecting, building your lists of different people. Segment your audience, and then in the morning you do your tweet, and then you go to your Twitter list and say, right, I'll choose one person from my Twitter list that I'm going to engage with today, and do that and start that way.
Yeah.
And off you go.
Yeah, that's so much. I mean, I think it is very tactical. It's pretty doable, all this. It's not, I mean, for anybody who was, you know, thinking, oh, yet another social media, oh, how will I keep up with all this? But I think what you suggested also has continuity built in it. Like, go to the list and look at one person. Number five, the point that you said, is absolutely the way you can continue. Because a lot of times what happens, business leaders or entrepreneurs will go onto social media as a way of just creating their profile, but then they just don't go there. And
they just sit there and don't engage and just watch. Yes. And but, you know, another little tip, one more tip. OK, ask a question. Be honest and say, hi, I'm new to Twitter. I need to connect with X, Y, and Z. Who should I follow? Mm-hmm. And you will get loads of suggestions of who you should follow. Or you could ask a question like, oh, I'm traveling to Munich. Can anyone suggest a really nice hotel? And, you know, people love to help on Twitter. The Twitter community, don't forget the age demographic. Like, the over 50s are the highest, the over 55s, the highest growing demographic. So they're on their Twitter and they're like looking to connect with people and might be feeling a bit lonely and they want to help, you know? So yeah, definitely. Oh, try. Like, there's so many tips. There's so many other tips, but really, I do know Twitter. I'm very confident to say that I do know Twitter and I understand it more than big companies do. So if you're a small business owner, you can get ahead of the bigger guys by doing Twitter correctly.
Wonderful, wonderful. Samantha, this has been just so in-depth for Twitter, obviously, but on the other side of being human to do business. Mm-hmm. So this is really incredible. I'm sure the audience is going to love this. We spoke about your Women's Inspire Network and about the conference. So I'm going to put all those links in the show notes. Of course.
Thank you.
It's a no-brainer. People should connect with you on Twitter, but is there any other place that you want to ask people to connect you with?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn as well. I'm tweeting Goddess everywhere. So LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. But look, I'm always on Twitter. You have a better chance of getting a communication from me on Twitter. But, you know, if you did listen to the show, what would help you would be if people did actually say, oh, I heard you on the show, and tag you and tag me. And then that makes us feel good. Maybe when you put out the show, people could share the show. And you know, that would be helpful for you. But anyone who's listening, who's feeling a bit nervous about Twitter or nervous about, you know, your business and you're not really sure, look, you know, there's plenty of free videos there on my YouTube and plenty of tips on my website. But don't be afraid to say, I heard you on the show, this part I really liked, could you just show me that video you told me about, and I will send it to you on Twitter. Okay. Awesome. Don't be afraid to reach out. Okay.
Awesome. That's wonderful. Thank you, Samantha, for coming on the show. It's absolutely been my pleasure.
Oh, me too. Welcome. Thank you.
step to build your thought leadership is with a powerful professional personal bio. Personal bios can be used on LinkedIn as a summary, on your website, or can be shared with others as your introduction on a public platform. If you do not have a fantastic personal bio which talks volumes about your professional experience and your expertise, help is around. Jot My Bio is a done-for-you professional bio writing service that showcases the best of your unique self. Visit jotmybio.com, that is jotmybio.com today, and get yourself a unique handcrafted personal bio. I truly appreciate you joining me on the podcast today. And to stay updated on the latest episodes, make sure you have subscribed to the Making of a Thought Leader podcast on your favorite podcast player. See you next time.